Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 217, stanzas 1 through 4. Remember not, O God, and the sins of long ago, in tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. All stanzas of Psalter 217.
To read from God's holy word that which can be found in the gospel according to Matthew, the 18th chapter. But before that, the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 18, beginning with verse 21, up to and including verse 35, to the end. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. Now when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye, from your hearts, forgive not every one his brother their trespasses.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, thy servant did say, How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. And my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. And my heart and my flesh crieth out after the living God. And we are come also into thy house once again in this afternoon hour. But thou knowest how that we have come up. Oh, that thou may give when it does not exist in our heart that same desire as thy servant. Because it is a house which thou sayest is to be called a house of prayer. And there lies no prayer in us by nature because there lies no need in us. Then we may have needs for our natural life. But we have no need for our soul in all our deadness and carelessness. And then we can only beseech thee once again that thou may remember us with our children. To give unto us also those longings that we can read of existed in the hearts of thy children in the days of old. and than it is for our instruction. And what that way of life is and what that way of life produces also in the life, in the heart of thy children. And that we may not mistake ourselves as we go to that great eternity. Because when our soul is lost, then all is lost. And it can be that we do think to be saved and do expect to enter in. Thou sayest, many shall expect to enter in. And they shall not be able, and they are not they of this world. But they are those who may come under thy word. Oh, that thou may keep us from that self-deception. And then it is alone the work of thy Holy Spirit to show unto us what lives in our hearts. And to grant us life from the dead. Oh, hast thou not died that death in order to deliver thy church therefrom? Oh, that thou may deliver us therefrom also, then when we are fallen dead in that spiritual death, and then that we may know also of that spiritual resurrection. Oh, send forth and thy light and thy truth and thy calling in an irresistible way unto us and unto our dear children. Grant more and more that instruction that teaches thy children what we are in ourselves. And more who and what thou art. For those who remain in themselves wretched and miserable. But indeed they receive everything so that thy bride could say, I am black, but comely. Oh, that thou may so remember thy children. Lord, everything needs to be given from above. That is what they must experience, and it can be so many years sometimes. Before that thou comest again. 20 years between Bethel and Peniel. So that there are fears of what it shall be. Oh, that thou may thyself arise and visit thy Zion. And cause thy face to shine once more. Remember each and every one in all the needs and cares. And that accompany this life. Lord, that thou may be with all those that seek thee in truth and in uprightness. But have to experience what thou sayest in thy word. That they shall have much trial and tribulation here below. Because we need to be weaned from this world. That our heart would not be clinging to all that is of the earth. And then there is so much work for thee to do. That we may become tired of ourselves. And that we may desire to be delivered from a body of sin and death. But wilt thou look upon all those that have needs, and that do cry to thee therein? And wilt thou supply and give to experience the truth of thy holy word? When I cried unto the Lord, the Lord answered me. Wilt thou remember thus those who are in great distress? for the many needs of this life. They are bringing men into places wherein he feels his great helplessness, the miseries of the body, the awful sicknesses, and the drawing nigh unto the gates of death. Oh, that thou may remember them in thy mercy, and wilt thou supply for them in their need, that thou may hear their cry when that death draws nigh. Wilt thou then supply for those whom we love? For thou knowest where that they are, relatives also of us in the midst of our denomination. Oh, that thou may supply for all thy servants. Wilt thou increase their number? Wilt thou remember our theological school? Wilt thou help the students? And when they also do feel as something of the difficulty of going forward, and then it can be that sometimes they think to go back. But Lord, that thou thyself may go before them, and that thou may encourage them with a visit from thee. And wilt thou show to them thy faithfulness who has called them to that work? Also him that hopes to go forth soon in the midst of the congregations. Lord, then we lay him before thee in a special way. For the mountains, they can be so very, very high. Oh, that thou may supply for him in these months, and wilt thou encourage him in thy way, and wilt thou send forth more servants in thy vineyard, who are truly converted and called by thee. In the time that lies before us, when the curatorium hopes soon to meet again, Lord, wilt thou bring them, maybe from places where we least expect. But thy deeds, they are wondrous deeds, and thou makest men to marvel thereat. Oh, that we may also be given to marvel at thy deeds, and that thou rememberest us also as a denomination, thy servant in this area. In his weakness, thou knowest also the needs of his body. Wilt thou help him? And wilt thou grant him an increasing strength? Him also that does visit in the preaching of thy word, wilt thou fill with thy Holy Spirit? Do look upon all that bring thy word upon the mission fields. Lord, that thou thyself may give opening to go to places where thou hast thine elect, where there are those chosen of thee from eternity, whom thou must bring in because thou sayest that thou must needs go through Samaria. Wilt thou then give an opening unto our mission board, when they are seeking, when they are looking for another place of labor? And wilt thou give an increase of the laborers also there, and so that thy kingdom may come in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation who has left thee? Remember thou our nation, our rulers, and all that govern us. Oh, we can only beseech thee, because thou hast the heart of kings in thy hands. Oh, Lord, when we deserve to be left to ourselves, and then we beseech thee that in thy wrath thou wouldst remember mercy and look upon us with our children, and at thy judgments which are due, and may yet be withheld in thy long suffering, and that that day of grace would be extended unto us, and that we may receive eyes to see what is happening about us, ears to hear it, a heart to compare it to thy word, and to search what lies within. Oh, that we may receive that holy urgency for the sake of our own life, as thou hast said unto a lot of old, flee for the sake of your life. Hasten, flee for thy life's sake unto the mountains, lest ye be consumed. Do remember us as a consistory. Wilt thou help us continually in all the labors of our hands, in catechizing our youth, in the confession class, which now come unto an end. Oh, that thou thyself may bless the labors which are now past, but could it please thee to give instruction unto our youth and unto our children, and give what is necessary unto the confession class, also as they are studying in these weeks for their examination before the consistory. Lord, that thou may help them, and that thou may give them also a place on their knees to ask of thee that wisdom. For thou sayest, if any of you lack wisdom, and let them ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Wilt thou look upon us in this afternoon, and when thy word is to go forth once again, we beseech thee, O Lord, for thy help and for thy guidance, and that thou may fill us with thy Holy Spirit, and that we may be given to speak of things new and old out of thy law, and that there may be a place also to receive it in this afternoon hour. Forgive and take away all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 230, stanzas 1, 5, 6, and 7. Lord, thou hast greatly blessed our land, and thou hast brought back our captive band, and thy pardoning grace has made us free and covered our iniquity. We announce that the prayer day collection this coming week will be, the Lord willing, for the Calvin Christian School, unless otherwise marked. There will be one collection bag, and the last collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment, 231 and 5 through 7. Thank you. give us this day our daily bread. That is, we have heard a petition for all the needs that are in this life. That is bread that is both promised and assured to the church of God. That is what we heard. That is the children's bread. And what is now the purpose of the Lord giving to His children bread? Is that then that they may serve therewith this world? We can read the opposite in the Word of God. But this life that is a place where God's children may receive the greatest blessings, the highest blessings. And thus, when the Lord is giving to His children that bread, and when the Lord is sustaining His church here below with everything that is necessary in this world, that is, that they may receive blessings not only for this time, but also for that great eternity that is coming. They are the blessings that we read of in the next question. Maybe there are those that have been waiting. Maybe there are those that have been following, that have been looking and waiting for us to speak and for the Lord to speak concerning this next blessing that we may read of in Lord's Day 51, question 126, Lord's Day 51, question 126, which is the fifth petition. Answer. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood not to impute to us, poor sinners, our transgressions, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us, even as we feel this evidence of Thy grace in us, that it is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. So far, our Lord's Day, a petition for the forgiveness of our debts. First, the meaning of forgiveness. Second, the ground of forgiveness. And third, the evidences of forgiveness. A petition for the forgiveness of our debts. First, the meaning. Second, the ground. And third, the evidences of this forgiveness. Forgive us our debts. What is that? A debt. A debt is something that is still owed. A debt is something that is still not yet paid. Do we have a debt? Do we have a debt in this world that is still owed? And how do we feel about that debt? Because there are those that are not burdened by their debts, that are very easily living off of their neighbor, which is really only thievery. But there are others that are burdened by their debts, and that feel anxiety concerning their debts, but that are not able to pay those debts back again. And so we have to be very careful that we are not exacting with rigor and that which is not able to be paid back by others. The Lord, He speaks here about spiritual debts. Do you have a spiritual debt? What is that? That is something that is owed. That is something that is not yet paid. And what is that? Well, the Lord has given us to eat today, and what have we returned unto Him? What do we owe Him, children? You have eaten also this morning, this afternoon. What do we now owe Him? So must we pay the Lord money? No. No, because David, he says that the Lord does not require sacrifice. What does the Lord require? The Lord requires a broken and a contrite spirit. How is that with us? Is that now still a debt that is not paid? A broken and a contrite spirit. And He is our Creator. And thus, young people, when you have made something, then you expect that thing to be of service to you. Say, I have made it. It belongs to me. Then it should be of service to me. Who is your maker? Who has made you? Are you of service to Him? Do you give your life to Him? Your young life? Your strength? Your health? Do you worship Him? Because He has made you for that. That you may honor Him, that you may glorify Him. How is it? Because with every omission of that which is required of us by the Lord, then we are increasing our debt. And not only every omission, but also every commission, every transgression of that which is now against that word of the Lord, so that we are adding unto that debt day by day. Do you ever feel something of that mountain, of that debt that is owed unto the Lord? Forgive us our debts. That is what the Lord Jesus teaches His own children to pray. What does He say to His own children? He accuses them of having unpaid debts. Did the Lord ever accuse you of a debt that is unpaid? Because that is now one of the first works of that Holy Spirit of the Lord, to come with His accusations that we have a heaven-high debt that we owe to the Lord and that we have not paid it. To convince of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And that is not only to accuse, because there is an accusation that is living in the heart of every man in this whole world. He does not, boys and girls, know so much like we know, because they don't hear it out of the Word of God. But there is something in their conscience that says to them that there is a God, that that God has made them poor people. Are they not? We must pray for them too, because they do not receive what you and I receive, when they may be instructed who that God is and what we actually owe Him. But everyone in this world, they feel something of that speaking, that accusing conscience. But do you know what they miss? They miss the application of the Spirit of the Lord. How does it make a difference for a person then? That is, that it is not only an accusing voice, but that there comes a burden with it. A burden. A burden that is flowing out of the love of the heart unto that God whom they begin to miss. That they say, I have sinned against Him, and that I do not give to Him who deserves all my life, who deserves all my heart. That I do not give this to Him to whom that it is due. It is so necessary to know the burden. The burden. And why is it so necessary to know the burden of sin? That is because it is that burden which is motivating a person to seek and to ask for that forgiveness. And there is no one who receives that forgiveness outside of the way of asking. So how can we receive that asking? Well, then it is necessary that the Lord is giving to us that burden, that grief in our heart because of our sin. Forgive us our debts. That is not only the individual transgressions, because our fathers, they speak about that depravity which always cleaves to us. Thus, to know our depravity, that is more than to know our individual transgressions. Because it is to know from where those individual transgressions are coming. What is the source of those actions? What is the source of those evil thoughts? What is the source of that perverse will? And what is now the fountain out of which all the iniquity of my heart and all the iniquity of my life that is flowing. That is now that depravity that our fathers are speaking about. Thus it is one thing to know that I have sinned. And it is another thing for the Lord to show us that we are a sinner. That is our depravity. Where do you read of it in the Bible? Well, you read of it in the heart of the Apostle Paul, who complained about that depravity, and who said that that is lying in my very nature. The good that I would, I do not. That is my flesh. That is my depravity. That is that evil fountain out of which all that new man he desires to be rid of. That is where all that is coming from. the rich young ruler. He did not know of this. Read in the Bible that he said that he restored fourfold for everything that he had done against his fellow men. But he had no conception of the depravity that was living in the bottom of his heart. That was so different with Peter, because when the Lord, he says, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me, then Peter, immediately, he did not need time to think about that. No, that lived in his heart from day to day, that came out of his heart. He said, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Why? Because he felt that same thing as the Apostle Paul. That is the depravity of his sinful nature. One of the meanings of sin in the Word of God, that is to miss the mark. Oh, what is that mark? That is that purpose of our creation. Wherefore that we have been made as the crown of the creation of God. Oh, that mark. That mark of His honor, that mark of His glory. Sin. That is to miss that mark. Do you ever feel how that you miss that mark in everything that we do? That is in the midst of this world and everything also that we do in our life of religion. Thus, our fathers, they speak about us, poor sinners, that it be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood not to impute to us, poor sinners. What is that? A poor sinner. Well, do you know what we do? We feel so sorry for ourselves. And we say, yes, I'm also such a poor sinner. Why? Well, because I'm a son of Adam. And because Adam has sinned. And, well, because I cannot do anything anymore. And so I am also a poor sinner. But actually it is not my fault. And that's why does the Lord find fault? Because this is the way that I was born into this world. I am a poor sinner. Congregation, that is a denial of our sin. It is a denial of our own guilt. Why then do we ask for forgiveness if we really do not even feel in our heart that we are a sinner at all? But what do our fathers mean with this expression, us poor sinners? Well, they are speaking about, the Lord Jesus was speaking about a debtor. And so they refer to one who is not able to pay his debts. Thus our fathers, they are speaking about a spiritual poverty. Thus we say to know our sin, that is one thing. But to know that we are a sinner and something of the corruption of our heart, that is something else. But now there is also another thing. Further. And what is that? That is to come to know that I am also a poor sinner. Why? Well, to have a debt, that is one thing. when a man has a debt, but when a poor man has a debt, that is now something else. That is now something that can be so very, very different. When that man that has a debt is also a man of great poverty in this world. Because that is now that man, and he is the only man, that is asking that the creditor would forgive him his debts. When he is experiencing the impossibility that he would ever be able to pay that debt. Because as long as there is hope, then I will still attempt to pay that debt myself, because there is something so honorable in it. And when I can pay my own debts, and thus it is a great humiliation when a man has to come to his creditor and he asks him if he will forgive his debts. Man does not just come there. A man does not desire to come there. But what is it? When he asks for forgiveness of debts, then he is confessing his poverty. Because if there was no poverty, there was no reason to ask that debt that should be forgiven. Thus our fathers, they say, us poor sinners. That is right. And when the Lord Jesus teaches his people to pray, forgive us our debts, then he teaches them that they must, their entire life, always be conscious of their poverty and of their inability to pay their debts. Why? Because that is not a prayer, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is not a prayer that he teaches them to pray for once only. But that is a prayer that he teaches them that they must pray to the Lord every day again, to the end of their life. Thus they must remain with that consciousness. The Lord Jesus doesn't say to them, you must now pay your debt. No, that he said to the rich young ruler, he said, you know what the law says. Not as if he could do it, but he said that to him for his instruction. Why? That he would become a poor sinner. And what does he say now to poor sinners? He says, my people, you must just ask the Lord to forgive your debts. Because that is the only way. Because there is no other way than this way. Forgive us our debts. What is the meaning of that? When a creditor will forgive the debts. It is so simple, isn't it? Then that creditor, he just says to that debtor, he says, you do not owe me anything anymore. Nothing. It is all forgiven. Is that not so simple? Is it not so simple? O congregation, is it not a wonder that there is such a thing in this world? That the Lord Jesus is pointing to in this world? To show unto his people, to show unto each one of us that way wherein he can receive his church. One way, one simple way. Oh, if we perish, will it not be our own fault? Forgive us our debts. You say, how can it be? Is not God just? Can he just do that? Oh, you are right. But that is our second thought. Because he does not do that without a ground. He does not do that without a foundation. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood not to impute to us poor sinners our transgressions, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us. Be pleased. Be pleased. Where does it lie? Oh, it lies already in eternity. It lies in the good pleasure of the Lord. And his good pleasure of that sovereign God, of that sovereign King. That is what he is pleased to do. Just to forgive. But it cannot be against his attributes, because he is God. And thus, a way must be found. Who can find that way? Can we find that way? Oh, he can find that way. He can find that way because he is omniscient. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the knowledge and wisdom of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways. They are past finding out. The ground. If he did not find a way, then there would be no way. Be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood not to impute to us, poor sinners, our transgressions. No, it is not without a good foundation. It is not without a solid foundation that he can just forgive all the debt. What is the foundation? Oh, we heard a little bit of it in this morning hour. That foundation, in that good pleasure of God to give his only begotten Son. Oh, that foundation that is lying in that blessed, active, and passive obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that is a blessed ground. What is the ground? That he can just forgive his people all that debt. What is the ground? The ground is the payment, that it is paid already. We heard it. Oh, that awful price, that curse, that punishment that is due unto that church, that is so completely paid in that active, but especially and also in that passive obedience of that blessed Son of God to the last jot. the last tittle. Nothing owing anymore. And therefore, the Lord Jesus, he teaches his church to plead. To plead on what? To plead on this foundation. As a poor sinner. As a debtor. Who is in poverty. Why? Why does he need to plead upon that? Is that not accomplished already? Yes, it is accomplished already in an objective way in the blessed Son of God. And what does he teach his children to pray? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Then he is instructing them to pray for the application. That they may receive it for their own soul. That they may receive the blessing of it. That they may receive the comfort of it. That they may receive the rest in it. And that the Lord, he may also thereby receive all the glory. Oh, just see. See that debtor. And he goes to his creditor. And then that creditor, he says to him, I forgive all that debt. What goes on then in the heart of that man? Then you say there is a relief in the heart of that man. Then there is a burden that is lifted off the shoulders of that man. When he may hear from that creditor that that debt that is so completely forgiven, what an unknown gladness, what a lightness, what a joy. When we read that Bunyan tries to describe it in his allegory, how that Christian, he sees that cross. And he says that that burden that is loosed from his shoulders and that falls from his back and it goes down into that sepulcher and he says, I saw it no more. Oh, then he says, was Christian glad? Was Christian lightsome? He was delivered of that burden. And he stood there for a while. And he looked, and he was surprised how that sight of that cross that could have so relieved him of that burden. He looked and he looked until the springs in his head that brought forth rivers of waters down his cheeks. Oh, David, he says, I called upon the Lord in distress. And the Lord heard me, and he set me in a large place, a large room. I called upon the Lord in distress. Oh, congregation, did we ever so call upon the Lord? And so were delivered also, even as that pilgrim, because that is a people that sing. They sing the song that belongs unto that poor debtor who may see something of that blessed mediator standing in the breaches. And so his heart that goes out unto the Lord and the Lord receives all his honor thereby. Let us sing 175, 2 and 3. We come with offerings to his house, and here we pay the solemn vows we uttered in distress. To him, our all we dedicate, to him we wholly consecrate the lives his mercies bless. 2 and 3 of Psalter 175. and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood, not to impute to us poor sinners our transgressions, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us, even as we feel this evidence of thy grace in us, that it is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. Thus we have the evidences of that forgiveness. When that creditor is relieving that debtor, that poor debtor, then what changes about that man, that debtor? What changes about him? Well, then nothing changes. Because then he remains, when he goes away, just as poor as he was before. Only that he has no debt. For the church, it is that forgiveness that is so much greater than it is for a man in this world. Why? Because when the Lord opens the eyes of that people and gives them to see what is now contained in that satisfaction of his only begotten Son, then there is not only a forgiveness of the debt of the past, but also of the present, and also of the future. And yet, in and of themselves, that people, they remain just as poor as they were before. That is the mystery. And yet you say they have everything. Because what does a man miss if he can never in his life strike up a debt again? Never. That is a man who is free. Who is free. How does that freedom show in his life? What are the evidences of that blessing? What are the evidences of that free forgiveness? What is it? That man becomes a sympathizer. With whom? With other poor debtors. A debtor who has a burden. A debtor who is not able to pay his debts. He understands that. He pities that man, and he has a desire that he may show that man that same blessed forgiveness that he has been, that he has received himself from the Lord. That is what our fathers say. Even as we feel this evidence of thy grace in us, that it is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Not as a ground of forgiveness, because we have seen that ground of forgiveness, that ground of forgiveness that is lying in the good pleasure of God, that is lying in the work, the meritorious work of Christ. As we forgive. not as in the same degree, because the forgiveness of the Lord, that is perfect. It is perfect. But the forgiveness of man, that has imperfections. So it is not as in the same degree. But we read, as we feel this evidence of thy grace in us, that it is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. Thus, the evidence of grace, that is a firm resolution, that is not a perfection of the deed. No, that is a resolution that is living in the heart, a firm resolution. Why does a person need to have such a firm resolution? Why do our fathers just not say, well, as that he desires to forgive his neighbor? No, a firm resolution. Why is that necessary? Because the obstacles to be overcome are very, very high. In order that we may from the heart forgive our neighbor. What are those obstacles? That is not an obstacle that you say, well, now I have to try to see him in a different light as a person. I have to try to see him just as if it had never happened. No. Because that is now required. That is now something that person, he needs to earn in his life. Then his life will change. Then eventually we will come to see that this is a different person than that he was before. But now that firm resolution. Why? It is not that he has to struggle to overcome that desire for retribution that is placed in us by God. That every person would receive a due punishment for his sin. Thus, when we see a man and he is horribly abusing his child, his little child, then we say that man, he should be punished. And it goes against what is created in us, that a man should just not receive any punishment for his sin. That is the desire for retribution. That is what is given unto us, every man in this world, and which is so attacked in this world, when there is no more punishment. When the magistrate, he allows sin to take place in what is living in our heart, then there is something that is going against our grain. That is, that punishment that is not receiving its due reward. And thus, this is not an evil thing, no, that is a proper thing. Paul said to Timothy, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Thus, it is not the view of that person. It is not to come over that natural and God-given desire for retribution in our heart. No, the struggle, that firm resolution that has to be in our heart, that is about something else. What is it? That is to let go of the revenge. The revenge that is living in our heart. What is that revenge? That revenge wants to see my neighbor suffer because he has caused me suffering, because he has caused me hurt. And I also want to see that he hurts, that he smarts for it. Thus, revenge. Revenge that is taking pleasure in the pain of my neighbor. A firm resolution to let go of that revenge that is living in our heart. And a firm resolution that we may completely forgo everything that person now owes to me. Whom? That rich person? No, not the rich. Because boys and girls, when your neighbor will take your bicycle and he still has your bicycle, then we say he has to give it back. Right? And you may require that back again. But what happens if your neighbor has taken that bicycle and he has completely destroyed it? And he has no bicycle to give you back. And he has no money. And that is a poor man. Say, yeah. Now it is possible that you say, you know, that was mine. And I don't have it anymore. But because you are sorry, because you are not able to pay back for that, then I will forgive you. That is, that I will say, you don't have to ever give me anything back again. I forgo everything. Thus, it is not to the rich, no, but it is to whom? It is to that poor debtor that is not able anymore to pay back to us when he has hurt us in some way that can never, never be undone anymore. And then to say, I will bear it. And then to completely forgive that poor debtor. A firm resolution. A firm resolution is necessary. Why? Because it is hard. Let us never underestimate the difficulty of forgiving our neighbor. It is difficult. Because what lives in our hearts, and you know what makes it most difficult? It makes it most difficult when that creditor, he cannot detect the burden. He cannot detect the poverty. But when he sees a contrite heart, when he sees, when he feels something of that contrite spirit, oh, then the debtor, he makes it so much easier to have that firm resolution fulfilled in his heart, that he may forgive him everything. That's not only from his lips, no. Then it has to come forth in our walk. It has to come out in our confession, because we have read of the Lord Jesus, that parable, and that man he has forgiven. But when he saw what was in his heart, he says, no, no. Then you go into prison. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Congregation, ask the Lord to make us a poor sinner. Then he must show us our debts. He must show us our debts. But he must show us something else. He must show us our poverty. That is an awful sight. Our poverty. That is a heavy burden. But it is now the only people that will ever truly pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And there is only those that ask that shall receive it. And in their life, the evidences will also be evident known. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou show to us our poverty and grant us that need within to be forgiven and that desire that we may from our heart forgive one another. That firm resolution, wilt thou forgive us? And wilt thou instruct us? And wilt thou lead us into thy truth? And give us to feel something of the blessedness of it, because it is a free and it is a full pardon. Then there is nothing left which can come between thee and our soul. But then there is peace. Oh, that we may desire to know that peace, to know that rest that is found in thee alone. Look on us in this week. We hope to gather again. Wilt thou help us to prepare and to bring thy word when we gather in a day of prayer, and each and every one of us to gather a heart to pray. Help us in our labors. Wilt thou keep us from sin? For Jesus' sake, amen. 3:19, 2, 3, and 4. Let all his servants tell abroad the never-failing grace of God. Let all who hear Jehovah's name his everlasting love proclaim. 2, 3, and 4 of 319. Blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless you.